Backham Academy is now in session. Greetings, Veeam Community Podcast listeners. Before we start with today's podcast, be sure to check out a new community resource, Backup Academy. Veeam has sponsored Backup Academy to provide product-neutral training and certification on both backup and data protection technologies. This material is designed for individuals who may be new to both virtualization and data protection technologies and want to have a good foundation on both Microsoft and VMware virtualization technologies. IT experts David Davis, Greg Shields, Elias Knaser, Eric Sieber, and Rick Vanover have teamed up for this initial release of Backup Academy. Additional content will be added over time as technologies change and new sessions are created. Check out www.backupacademy.com and follow at BCKP Academy on Twitter.
Hello and welcome to the Veeam Community Podcast. I'm your host, Rick Vanover. This is episode 39. Who is Kendrick Coleman? Here we go. Today, my guest is Kendrick Coleman. How you doing, Kenny?
I'm doing fine. Rick, yourself?
Hey, I am rocking it, and I called you Kendrick. I called you Kenny. Are there any other nicknames? What's the story?
Yeah, Kendrick, Kenny. I kind of go by both. I've got a mixed identity myself. I have an identity crisis when I go and I meet a customer because I go back and forth and introduce myself as Kenny or Kendrick, but I go by Kenny. So if you ever meet me in person, just call me Kenny because Kendrick's my given name. And when I started doing the whole blogging thing and buying a domain, I tried buying KennyColeman.com, but apparently that's some photographer. So I couldn't buy that domain. So I went with KendrickColeman.com, and I just started, I guess you could say, building a brand around myself. And that's sort of just how I stuck with it because it's too hard to go back and forth. But, yeah, if you ever see me out, just call me Kenny. It's a lot easier.
Well, I like Kendrick. It's cool in the gang. I like that name, you know. And it's funny.
It's unique. You're not going to find a lot of other people with it.
That's right. You're for sure on that. And tell everybody a little bit about yourself, where you live, what you do, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so I'm a short drive from you, Rick. I'm based out of Louisville, Kentucky. I am a senior V architect at VCE, and in my spare time, I try to blog, and I try to do it as much as I can. I try to get out at least a post a week. If you see more than two, it's because I've got way too much free time. But I blog over at KendrickColeman.com. I try to do any kind of tips, tricks, hacks, walkthroughs, anything I can find while I'm playing around in any sort of vSphere product, and that's what I focus on. And you know, I love having Veeam as one of my sponsors because they help pay for, you know, some of my lab equipment and, you know, keeping the lights on so I can keep playing with all the vSphere products.
Well, cool. Thank you for the plug. It wasn't necessary, but I'm going to leave it in there. Well, no, and yeah, that's why I reach out to you, you know, because the community is all about getting to know everyone, and the passion that we all have to contribute is great. It's good stuff. And, you know, a lot of people might know you, Kenny, from your, you know, really popular VMworld sessions, both, I guess it was in 2010 and 2011. Is that right?
Yeah, it was really cool. So last year, David Davis and I, it was kind of David had this whole notion of doing this top 10 free tools at VMworld, and he got accepted in 2010, and then I had come out with a list of free tools and a top 10 post, and he was like, you know what, we should probably do this together. So he got in touch with me, and we kind of got the go-ahead to add me to the speaker list, and I ended up getting to go to VMworld for my very first time in 2010 and speaking at it, and ended up having three sessions and getting invited to go to Copenhagen, and it was great. It was probably once in a lifetime thing. And until this year, we submitted again and we got chosen to go again. I was really surprised. I'm really actually very, very fortunate and lucky that we were actually one of the few people that got to go through the actual voting session to actually go and speak, because I know a lot of people weren't happy with the way things turned out, but you know, when you got to focus everything on vSphere 5, you know, that's just the way it is, because that's they have to really focus it on their core product. But we were able to do our free tool session again this year. We did a lot of stuff from feedback that we got last year in comments. So there was a lot more videos, a lot more animations, a lot more speaking points than just having a picture on the background and telling you about the tool. You could actually see it working in the background. And I think it got a lot of great success, a lot of great reviews. We had a great turnout. We had, I think, almost 600 people in the room, so it was definitely a cool turnout.
Oh, get in. That's awesome. 600 yeah. people. And, you know, about the session inventory, I know, yeah, you're right. There were a lot of people bummed out about it. I put in an entry this year, didn't get accepted. But you know what? It's probably an off year, you know, competitively, because there are a fixed number of slots, and, you know, there's going to be a huge splash of new content for vSphere 5, and that's just a reality of the market, you know, and so really we have to focus on what does get accepted, you know, title-wise, content-wise, and kind of refine our strategies.
Oh, yeah, you're totally right. I think they said they had over, like, 2,000 entries or 2,000 submits for it, and, you know, to go through that, and when you really got to think, like, you know, we just launched this whole new product, we should probably talk about that than just talking about, you know, everything we did in 4.0 and 4.1. It's, you know, they should really focus on what they're going to be leading with as, you know, sort of VMware being the inventors of our industry that we all live in day in, day out now.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't make any sense, you know, to focus on 4 primarily on the content there, except in the context of moving to 5, I guess. And then the other half of that is, you know, when we had to create our submissions, you know, for the content, it was, you know, ETA, GA announcement of vSphere was generally unknown at that point. You know, I guess on the inside we could have put it on a quarter, you know, say which quarter it would be released in. But, you know, if you're going to, you know, submit a session for VMworld, you got to kind of know what's going on. So I think in simple speak, it might be easier next year. We'll see. Who knows?
I think it will be. You know, we kind of, you know, we all have sort of the beta access to vSphere 5. So luckily when we were doing our free tools session, I went and tested all the free tools against vSphere 5. So during the session, I could say if it worked or not with vSphere 5. So we had a little bit of a vSphere 5 hook into it, but, mm-hmm. you know, not a huge focus.
Sure. And there's, you know, I can say definitely from the partner ecosystem, you know, it's a big change. It's not simply, you know, just an easy interface change, for programmatically speaking, for a lot of these tools out there, especially kind of action item things. You know, when you're reading stuff like metrics of, you know, your Core 4 resources and VM attributes and stuff like that, the read type stuff is not a big deal. But when you're talking about, you know, latching into, you know, vStorage APIs and, you know, virtual appliance hotend, and you start doing some, you know, involved stuff programmatically from the partner ecosystem, it's a big change from 4 to 5. So I think that you might have had kind of some learning experiences with the tools as you went along. But, yeah, it's definitely a wild ride right now. And vSphere 5, I know you and I were talking just a little bit ago. I'm prepping my lab for vSphere 5, but you're already there. So how's it going in your lab with vSphere 5?
It's actually pretty stable. Like I you know, with the help of blog sponsors such as Veeam, I was able to procure a bunch of equipment and actually start building out my home lab. And it actually started running the vSphere 5 beta when we had early access to it as vExperts and had that running, and then all of a sudden it goes GA, and it basically kind of broke my lab because there wasn't an easy way to upgrade because none of my hosts have video cards, they don't have CD drives, so I had to stick video cards in, had to redo everything on the USB stick, so it kind of screwed me over a little bit, but, you know.
Am I talking to William Lamb? Is this virtually ghetto? No video card? I love it. That's awesome.
I know. Well, that's what my whole concept of my home lab is. I want it to be called the Green Machines because I want it to be completely silent, completely, you know, very, very low wattage. And that's what I'm sitting here in, if you hear my lab, because I'm sitting right here next to it right now. I've got two machines, my NAS, you know, it's all running. They're all running ESX natively off of USB sticks. And I try to, you know, there's no hard drives in it, nothing like that. And I think I probably want to stick an SSD in there very soon to start playing around with host cache and some of those other cool things that are going to be making its way into, I think it's, you know, further along features once it starts getting more use within the GUI and stuff.
But, yeah, you know, and you're probably smart in that way because my home lab, I go the other way. I use, you know, ProLiant PowerEdge type equipment. And, you know, I go for like the typical server that I might use in the data center. Granted, on the low end, my biggest challenge is around storage. Okay, I do not have enterprise storage at home, but I do have iSCSI block storage, and I got two controllers now. And every now and then I'll fire up a virtual storage controller device. I'm a little bit different. I also have to provision Hyper-V, so I've scaled out in the terms of servers and stuff, but I'm running into a challenge where I'm out of power, so the basement is out of power. So now the number three bedroom has the remote data center for the Rickatron lab.
Before you know it, you're going to have to start taking down that crib and saying, you got to start sleeping on this ProLiant, huh?
Well, I'll say, for the guests staying, if you want a really, really warm guest bedroom, I recommend the number three, So, no, it's all good. And, every lab's different. And really, you got to think about the objectives of your lab. And for me, I've built, quite a pretty static block of infrastructure. I don't take my hosts and, flash them to this version of ESX or to Xen and to Hyper-V. I don't do that much, okay? But I am at the point where I want a couple of boxes that are always Hyper-V, always ESXi or something. But I tell you, I don't know how much you've been, playing with, vSphere 5, and you probably don't have much interest in Hyper-V. But for me, at least, Hyper-V as a nested virtual machine now that you can power on the VMs, that's a great lab tool, and I'm all over it. So
I think they made a really good step by being able to support Hyper-V within a nested vSphere environment, and they also started supporting 64-bit guests within a nested vSphere environment now too. So your home lab can even go four steps further now, so you can actually put ESX in ESX. And then you can put another layer of ESX inside there, and then you can run a 32-bit machine inside that ESX. So it's what's that movie called? Inception. So it's like Inception, like times 10 now. So it's really cool, but it definitely helps out a lot of those home labbers out there.
Absolutely. And for me, I'm also a little bit drooly over Workstation version 8. I have, for a long time, been a holdout of Workstation just because I'm really honestly cheap, and I've always used Oracle VirtualBox. Kind of hurts to say Oracle.
My heart's just falling down right now.
I want to say Sun VirtualBox, but I programmed myself to say Oracle VirtualBox. But I've always used that for my Type 2 hypervisor, and I just dabbled with Workstation 8 recently, and it's not even close. It's just blowing it out of the water. You name it. Record screen activity is AVI, latch on to vCenter, latch on to ESX. I mean, it's for real. If you guys haven't checked out Workstation 8, I really recommend you go for the upgrade, download an eval, check it out. For the lab person who doesn't want to invest in all this stuff like that Kenny and I am talking about, if you've got a laptop that has some RAM, or if you have an SSD, you can, swap a lot, and you can do that well with an SSD. Your lab environment doesn't have to be, a huge investment, especially for those that are just getting started with virtualization. Might be something to check out, using Workstation to go the whole way, because there's plenty of tools. In fact, I think if you're using it, Kenny, you have seen this now, but it recognizes ESXi as an operating system within Workstation, so there's no hack and crack to get it to work.
Yeah, see, I'm a Mac person now. Luckily, VCE gets you get shipped Macs now. So I've got two MacBook Pros sitting here. One's my personal one, and then one's the one that actually came from VCE. So I run Fusion for a lot of stuff because our corporate image comes as an actual XP image. So we actually have to run Fusion to actually do most of our work. But I know Fusion 4 just came out. I haven't had a chance to upgrade yet, but I'm looking forward to doing that. But for the most part, I just even have to run an XP image just so I can get to my lucky little vSphere client.
Well, have you thought, I don't know the Mac OS platform. I can barely spell it myself, but, can you run thin app, virtualized apps on like a Windows virtualized app on Mac OS, or does that have to stay within Windows?
No, that's still within Windows, because you still have to worry about Windows binaries and stuff. And I think that's where, I don't know if you paid that much attention to the huge VMworld announcement called App Blast, where they show where they're running Visio on top of a Mac. You know, that kind of just shows you where VMware sees the future of their technology and their vision of, you know, how they want the desktop computing environment to end up being. You know, the way I see it, it's, you know, I hate saying it because sometimes, you know, people take it the wrong way, but it's like almost like VDI might be killing itself in the end, because the way everything's pushing with ThinApps and with Project Horizon, and now you see App Blast coming through, you sort of see everything sort of coming down to just a web browser. You know, you're not going to really need a desktop too much longer. And I think really VMware understands what they're doing. They're just waiting for the rest of the ecosystem, all those developers to get on board and start, you know, writing code to Spring, so they don't have to worry about supporting anything on an actual desktop anymore.
Not true. That's definitely where the strategy is going. I got a lot of love for Windows, though. I guess the console hugger of ESX. I'm the OS hugger of client computing. I like Windows. I'll be honest, I've never used a Mac. I probably should.
You know, I used to be a Windows guy myself, and I remember because my wife's really big into video editing, so she always has a Mac around. But I always had Windows because I used to call myself a gamer, but you know, my computer is so old it couldn't run anything except maybe, you know, Duke Nukem or something like that. But
nice.
But then all of a sudden I get this Mac and I'm like, you know, it's actually pretty simple. You know, it's a really simple interface. I don't have to worry about registry, you know, startup shutdown, don't have to worry about it, just leave it on, close the lid, open the lid up. You know, it's really simple, and I kind of see why they are gaining such a huge market share now.
What about troubleshooting? That's my biggest fear, because I don't know how to troubleshoot a Mac.
Well, troubleshooting, I'm really not worried about, because really, if I have a problem, it's easy as just removing it and reinstalling it, just kind of like on a PC. I think most of the trouble comes in is if you really want to start looking underneath the covers and start really playing with some Unix and stuff, because that's where it can get fun, but also dangerous at times if you're not, you know, if you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, see, you know, in a way, the answer is the same even if you're a Windows guy, right? You know, I go the route of manage my data well, and the OS doesn't matter, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So if I need to dork around and tweak something, sure. And if I risk something of breaking by trying something, no problem. I'll just rebuild the OS. And especially in the home lab, I've got this ridiculous group policy that really configures everything I want based on either computer or user-based settings. So it's a really easy, you know, way. You just latch on and you're in, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, just so everybody knows, every blog post I've ever done about group policy really is something I've implemented in my lab. And I said, oh, well, I better share this. So so that's kind of how that came about. But in a way, that's really my big, you know, stumbling block is I've looked, I don't know what version of Mac OS, it was a while ago, like, I don't know what I was trying to do, map a drive, get a printer, and I was lost. I had to look it up, and I don't know. One of these days I'll try it, I guess.
Yeah, I've got an AD server, but I use it just for that. I use AD. I don't worry too much about group policy or anything like that, because I don't want to get down in the weeds and learning all that stuff and making my life more complicated than it needs to be already.
Oh, man, you're killing me, because group policy, man, that's the best product Microsoft's ever made, I think. I mean, to be able to just literally authenticate and boom, go, and this experience can be driven down. And I don't know. I think it's good stuff.
I mean, I do need to use it for some things when I'm testing out Vue, to make sure that, you know, when I need to log in as a specific user, I'm presented with, say, the correct desktops, either the call center or the hospital or something like that, you know, just while I'm testing at home. But just because to make sure, you know, you're not, I guess you should double check yourself to make sure you're calling yourself on your own BS.
Well, sure. And the other thing is, you know, especially in your role, your clients, you know, ideally would have a better handle on what those requirements are, especially in the VDI application. You know, one would think those settings are already pretty well defined in the physical world, except a lot of times some of the settings don't translate exactly the same to a VDI environment.
Yeah, you're totally right. And I think it's all about making sure you know the product as well, because at least in my role, a lot of people look at me as not a true SME, but they look at me as, well, he knows at least a little bit more than I do about this subject. So they ask me a bunch of questions about whether it's Vue, whether it's on vCloud or anything like that. Any sort of thing that is in the vSphere realm or VMware realm, I try to answer for helping the other people around in my company. And so that's sort of where my home lab comes in, so I can try to teach myself more and more about all these different products and, you know, read every blog post I can from everyone around the community, because we're all just a wealth of information, and it's just great to just to have that ecosystem where we can share it all.
Yeah, and virtualization is doing it right in that sense. So, you know, those of you that are out there in the trenches, you know, chances are you're going through something that Kendrick, myself, or, you know, admin down the road has gone through. Why not make an experience out of it? Why not share it? I encourage everyone to blog in virtualization. There's room for more, you know. And in fact, was it John Troyer said on Twitter that his list of bloggers that don't work for like a VMware partner or VMware or an integrator or something like that, that list is getting really short. So there's an opportunity for some fresh meat in the virtualization blogosphere, y'all. So,
and there's something to be said about that too, right?
Yeah.
It's like you look at that, you're like, oh wait, maybe this actually opens up doors for wherever I want to go in my life. And it's so true. It's amazing how all these people that we knew a year ago everybody is switching roles and moving to a vendor or moving to a new partner because they're getting noticed out here in this, you know, off a Google hit. So
absolutely. And that's the story for me. And pretty much it can repeat to any one of us in the community where, you know, you go through the effort of brand building and making a name for yourself. And I mean that totally in the most humble fashion. It's not an arrogance thing. It's a kind of an engagement to the community where I'm going to contribute something to the community, and then that becomes a bidirectional experience, okay? And you get your name out in that sense, time and time again, it's done nothing but good things career-wise for us out there. I mean, would you agree with that?
I 100% agree. I couldn't imagine my life, you know, it's just amazing where in 2 years how blogging and Twitter has really excelled my career. I never could imagine something like this ever happening.
Right on. I mean, there are plenty of people, and I, at some point, way back in the day, Kenny, you were probably in high school, but way back in the day where, you know, just go to work, do my job, come home, right? You know, if I need a problem, call vendor support, right? Well, now, you know, there might be another way to get the problem solved. Either, you know, find it yourself and share the experience, look to see what other people are doing. Okay, we still have those formal things of support when things get really ugly, but, you know, the door is open to the community. I encourage everyone to definitely check it out.
Mm-hmm.
So, Kenny, I'm going to transition to the next part of my podcast, and you were warned, but this is my gimmick. It's called Three Views from You. I'm going to ask you three questions, each based in a different point of time. One in the past, one in the present, and one in the future. And these are just questions from you as a general technologist. There's no right or wrong answer. And just kind of another way that the listeners can get a chance to understand you as a person. So let's start in the past, Kenny. What's the best technology story or experience at some point related to technology that you can share with us?
I mean, I'd say in my past, I think the day that I finally got into VMware and virtualization is probably the day the light bulb clicked and something actually happened for me, because I started out as the network admin. I got my CCNA after working behind a desk doing desktop support because I knew I didn't want to do that anymore. And then I got my CCNA and I got a job as a network engineer. And I walked in this building and they're like, great, we're glad you're here. But guess what? You're also our VMware engineer now too. And I was like, huh? Well, I've never even heard of this company before. So And this is actually the 3.5 days. So that's how new you can tell that I'm to the game compared to a lot of other people that talk about 1.5. But, and they sent me to the fast track course, and, you know, it wasn't, but a month and a half later, I put out my first blog post just because of just all these new things I was finding. And that's just kind of how I got started. And it's just that light bulb that clicked, and you could just see, you know, this is how things changing. And that's how I, you know, before I was like, I'm going to go on a CCIE track, and I'm going to be this great networking guy. And then everything just kind of just took a really hard U-turn. No, I wouldn't say U-turn, maybe a 90, and just went a whole different direction just because of this technology that's, you know, completely, I think it's, we're going to keep beating this horse, but you know, you keep calling it a game changer, but it truly is.
Yeah, and I wouldn't call it a 180, a 90. I don't know. I'd call it a slight reflection on the straight course because, you know, it all comes back, right?
It's true because you know, it all kind of plays together because some people are the server guys that get into it. Some people are the storage guys and they get into it. But at the end, you got to start learning all three pieces of it. And I think that's what really makes a great vSphere admin is when you can know – you know, all four pieces, you know, compute, you know, storage, you know, networking, you know, vSphere. And that's what's really going to make a great vSphere admin. You know, I think I told myself this, and this is kind of what I believe is I am what you would call now a jack of all trades and a master of none because of being a vSphere admin. And I think that's what you have to be if you want to be a good one, because you can know everything in the world about storage, but if you don't know a thing about networking, it's really, you're not going to know about the underlying design of vSphere and how it's going to work and, you know, where are these packets going? How does this distributed switch really work? And I think that's why you need to be able to, you know, not focus all your, I guess not focus everything on a specific technology, but you have to be able to share it and kind of look around at all the aspects that definitely influence it.
Know thy stack. That's right.
Exactly.
So how about in the present, Kenny? What's going on right now that you have the most passion for or are most interested in technology-wise?
Right now, I think it's going to be vCloud Director for me because I with the help of a few other people on the VCE side and the help of a few people on the VMware side, namely Chris Colati from VMware and Jeremiah Dooley from VCE, we came out and we put this running vCloud Director on vBlock design best practice. And it really got me ticking because I kind of see where this industry is going and how vCloud Director is something there where VMware is really going to start putting a lot of heavy focus on, you know, future developments, where they see cloud going, because this is where they still want to start pushing a lot of their stuff. And right now it's in the very early stages. It's like being in at ESX 1.0 or 1.5, because this is something it's going to eventually be what the stack is, right? Nobody's going to end up caring about the vSphere lane anymore because everybody's going to be playing in the VCD layer. It's sort of the evolution. I think we're on the cusp of the beginning right now.
Sure. I do not disagree at all. How about into the future? What do you see coming down the pike technology-wise that you see as the next game changer or the most interesting thing longer term?
I think the most interesting is going to be sort of related to vCloud Director and where we kind of see orchestration going. I think orchestration is going to be the next, like, virtualization, right? You know, we had virtualization. Virtualization makes our life easier. Now, wait till you see what orchestration can bring to virtualization when you look at stuff like OpSource or Cisco Intelligence Automation with their acquisition of Tidal and NuScale, and you couple that all and you have vCloud Director running in the background. When you put all this together and you develop workflows and you hook in, you know, vCenter Orchestrator and all these different things, and with a click of a button and a portal, and you can just provision VMs, you know, we say with vCloud Director, yeah, you can do that already. But if you haven't seen real orchestration with something like Cisco Intelligence, you're really missing out, because I think that's going to be where the future of, I hate using the word like it's a future of cloud. It's a future of what it's all going to be, but it's the future of where the industry is eventually going to go to having this self-service, you know, call it X as a service, you know, whatever it's going to be, something as a service, that's what it's going to be. And when you can develop an orchestration model around it, it's going to be really, almost breathtaking. It's going to be beautiful, because it's just going to be something that's, you know, highly, highly evolved and, you know, complete.
Beautiful. We're going to have another podcast about that, about orchestration, but you got me interested on beautiful, but you know what? You're right. I am definitely interested to see how that space develops, but my only concern, honestly, is too many approaches or standards to orchestration. That's
you're right.
I mean, there might be a risk to that, I guess, because there's also Opalis, okay, a whole another way of doing it. So we will see.
You're right. Because right now it's not a pretty story, right? Because there's 98 different products and they all want to hook into each other, and you're gonna have, you know, 8 layers to actually make this stuff work. So you got to wait until find that one company where you can go, oh, I just need this one product. I don't need these 8 products to make it all work. So right now it's not a good story, but you can kind of see the way things are going to eventually shift.
Well, hey, Kenny Coleman said it's going to be beautiful, and that's all I need to know. Well, hey, Kenny, this has been a great podcast. I really appreciate you taking the time here on a Monday night, of all things. I'm going to put links to your blog, and specifically to your blog on the free tools post, because that was very popular content, I'm sure. I encourage everyone to check out his blog. Any final comments, Kenny?
No, I thank you very much, Rick. I appreciate it. This has been fun. Anytime, just give me a call.
All right. Thanks again.